Try that again.
There you go.
All right. Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is a joy to be here today. And there's quite a few missing this morning, but trust today will be a blessing. I was inspired to be here already. And I appreciated the song that my brother Leroy picked. 570. Did we mean the words that we sang there? Fully surrendered, Lord divine, I will be true to thee. All that I am or have is thine. I will be true to thee. And it says, where thou leadest me, I will follow thee. I will be true to thee. Those are some pretty... That would take us a long way if we truly live out what we sang there. Appreciated what Steve shared already about visiting our neighbors. It kind of ties in with what I have to share this morning. And what I have to share this morning is just maybe a disclaimer. I would say God has been showing me some of these things, that this is an area in my life I can grow in. And that's why I'm sharing this morning. I don't sense a need of anyone else or anyone that's here. It's something that I endeavor to work on in my own heart. And it deserves much more than 20 minutes. And so bear with me as I share just a few nuggets that I've learned. I also don't want it to sound lopsided one side or the one way or the other. So you may have to fill in some of the blanks. Trust you will hear my heart. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. This is known as the Great Commission. I'm sure we're all very familiar with that. It's where Jesus, it's after he died and he arose from the grave. He then went to Galilee there and he met up with his disciples. And he gave them a charge. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If I would give this little meditation a title this morning, I would call it, Go Ye Therefore. Turn now to Mark 16. The last part of Mark 16, starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So as we can see there, Jesus gave his disciples a charge. I would say this is probably one of the most important most important charges or duties of a Christian in a Christian life, that we share the gospel. We share the love of Jesus to those around us. And that's, I'd just like to share a little bit about that this morning. He was talking to his disciples, but we are his disciples as well. The same charge applies to us, those of us who are believing in him today, August 2nd, 2026. It's a very important charge. Let's remember that as we go through this. I'm going to read some verses here. You don't have to turn to them, but Romans 10, verse 14 and 15. Appreciate these verses. I think redeeming the time when we had that, Brian Brandenburger shared on this portion. Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. As followers of Jesus, I'd like to lift up that we have a very high calling, and that is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus to the world. And what does this mean? What does this mean to us? In short, I believe it's simply means that we're called to share what Jesus has taught us, what he has done in our lives, to those souls that have no hope in him, to the ones that are lost, to the ones that are living a life full of themselves. We are called to teach the world to observe everything that Jesus had commanded us, as we just read there in Matthew. How do we do this? I think first and foremost, we have to have a burden for the lost souls in this world. If we don't have a burden, I think it's not going to come out right. It's not going to be done properly. Souls that are missing out of experiencing true joy, happiness, peace, and rest. Souls that have no hope of living with God in heaven forever. Souls that are living for them, for their flesh. Souls that are heading towards that terrible, everlasting lake of fire. And they'll burn forever and ever. And I ask myself at times, do I truly have this burden in my own heart for these souls? I find myself preoccupied sometimes with the busyness of life, the cares of this life. And not all of that is wrong. Things that in life we find ourselves busy in. But may it not distract us. May God help us to develop a greater burden for those souls. And it's not limited. The gospel is not limited to a certain color of skin, to a certain cultural background, nationality, rich or the poor, wise or the dumb, healthy or unhealthy. It's for everyone. It's for all. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. With all longsuffering and doctrine. I believe this means that we should be ready when the time is right, and even when it's not right. We should keep our sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable, and also when it's unfavorable. When it's convenient or when it's inconvenient. When it's welcome or when it's unwelcome. And that we should warn those who are living in sin. Most importantly, that we should do it with love. I think this is what I'd really like to bring out this morning, is that it's done with the proper heart and love and long-suffering and meekness and humbleness of mind. Do it with love, great patience, and faithful teaching. Teaching, faithful teaching, I think what that means there, it's teaching, maybe teaching that's evident in my own life. Teaching that when people see my life, they can see that I'm living what I'm speaking. Ephesians 4, verse 15, I'll read this in the Amplified Version. It says, "But speaking the truth in love, in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing His truth, let us grow up in all things into Him, following His example," meaning Jesus, who is the head, Christ. Colossians 4, verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt." I brought a salt shaker here this morning. "That ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." 1 Peter 3, 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Second Timothy 2, verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." I believe it's very important to share the gospel with boldness, but I believe maybe it's more important to share it with love, with meekness, with gentleness. And what does that look like? I think of a man that's walking into the liquor store, and maybe I'm driving, or maybe I'm walking out of the restaurant right beside it, and I see that man, and I see where he's going, and I say, "That's going to take you to hell." I tell him that he's a sinner and he's going to go to hell. Those words I told him are biblical. They are, I believe they're truth. They are they're correct words. But the attitude or the tone I said it in maybe wasn't correct. And maybe I should try going up to him and starting a practical conversation with him and saying, "Hello there, how are you doing? And, are you enjoying this beautiful day that God has given us?" And go on from there. Share a few more nuggets of truth to him. But I've found God has been doing that in my own life, and I found it to be helpful. I found it to be much more productive. You can actually win them. You can actually, they'll actually listen to you versus just boldly, strongly telling them a few words. And like I said, I think there's a time and place to share a few strong words to someone. I believe there is. I'm not putting that down, or I'm not saying that is completely wrong or out of place. I'm just saying it's much more effective when we share with love. We share with just try to relate to them somehow. And sometimes it's very practical. You know, what'd you do today for work? Or we should use the Bible when we share. I think that's the most important. We have God's Word. We have full access to it. We need to use it. And also, we can share our testimony. We can share what God's done in our own lives. Also, one thing I really appreciate, or one thing that is probably my favorite, is singing when we share. I think, and we do a lot of that here, I think it's a very beautiful way of sharing to souls that are lost, souls that are hurting, souls that need help, maybe souls that are seeking. And we've heard many testimonies of these souls that heard beautiful singing. I think singing can touch and speak to someone's heart more than what any words preached can do. Also, just very practical, there's a lot of businesses here, and maybe I think we can use our business to share the gospel. It's a very practical thing, but maybe it's adding a Bible verse to our business cards or putting it at the top of our contracts. And when that's something we started doing in the last couple of years. We put a verse right at the top, and that's the first thing they see when they read it. And we've heard many comments about it. When they comment on it, it helps us it gives us an opportunity to start a conversation about that. So it's a very practical thing. I think maybe it's putting a Bible verse sticker on our car, or handing a gospel track at the gas pump. Also, with that, I think today it's a trend in today's society there's a lot of businesses that are Christian businesses, but they're really not Christian businesses. The reason they do it is because in general, people would rather hire, they will pay more money for a Christian business to do their work. And so that's why it seems there's a lot of that today. I'm not lifting up the world's way of doing it today, I'm not. But I think us, as true believers in Jesus Christ, can do this with pure and holy hearts. We can do it God's way. Salt. Brought the salt shaker. The bottle looks really nice. Or the shaker bottle here looks, it's really nice. It's nice looking. It's got pure salt in it. It tastes good. But this salt will have no value if I don't put it on my food. If I don't put it on my soup. If I don't put it on whatever I would like to put it on. It has no value if it stays in this salt shaker. And so, just a little illustration that I think us as Christians we're this salt shaker sometimes, that we look good and we have a lot of knowledge. We're full of Christ, but let's share it. Let's share it to others. Let's share it to the world around us. That's what Jesus charged his disciples to do, and we are his disciples today. Also, maybe most importantly, those that we share to or those that we encounter, let's pray for them. I think prayer is very important. It's very important, much more important than I realize at times. And effective prayer requires confident trust in God's power, not a hesitant or half-hearted faith. I believe praying for them is just as important as sharing to them. In closing, I realize I just scratched the surface of this topic, but it's challenged me to go ye therefore. And whether that's here, whether that's at the job site, whether that's across the world, go preach to your unsaved family. Go preach to your neighbor. Go preach to the one at the gas pump. Go preach to your customers on the job site. Go preach to the homeless in Fort Wayne. Go preach to the man walking into the liquor store. Go preach to the man in Mackinac Island who he said he died twice. And he said when he died, he had heart surgery. his heart, or he had a heart attack, and he died during that time. And he said he met Jesus, and he met his mom who had died previously, and he met his brother who had died 3 weeks prior from a heart attack. He said he met Jesus, and Jesus said, "I'm not done with you yet." He said, forget the exact words, but he said, "You still have something to finish." And that man, I got to share with him just a little bit. It was a very random encounter. It cost us about an hour of our time. It was very inconvenient how it happened, but God put that man in our lives for a specific purpose. But he died twice, he said, and more than likely, he's probably still living in sin. And I just shared with him. Go preach to the ones in Haiti, Bolivia, Philippines, China, Thailand, and to the officers in Laos who virtually arrest you for sharing about Jesus in their country. We should go preach. And when it's necessary, if it's necessary, we should use a few words. May our lives be a testimony of Jesus so that others can clearly see what He's done in my life. They can see that we're living for something greater to come. We're not living for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, but rather for something exceedingly far, much greater to come. Something far more glorious, something eternal, something that will not fade away. Also, I think when we go through a trial or a battle, I think it's others see how we respond in those times, and so that in itself is also a testimony. May our thoughts, words, and deeds be pure, kind, and good. And when others see us living in such a way, may it inspire them also to turn from this world and call upon the name of the Lord, so that they too could be found faithful when He returns. May God bless you.